Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It's time for a new live Q&A. I don't really have a exact science or plan for this one today. You know me, last minute as always, and always winging it whenever possible. No script, just a few thoughts that have been mulling around my mind. And, you know, I actually want to share an interesting comment today as well, which I did say I would share to the person who made this comment. And it's a really insightful one to do with the millennial reign. And one of my lights isn't on. Come on. There it is. That's better. Yeah, it's a really insightful comment from somebody who's kind of like summarized a lot of their theories and ideas around how the millennial reign was established and what went down in those tribulation years. And I thought it was a great comment. Very well formulated. So I do want to share that with you guys as well today. But before we do that, let me just see who's in the chat. Let's see who we've got here. I've got Light Before the Tunnel. Great to see you. Thanks for being here. Good to see you made it. I'm usually busy to catch anything live. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here live with me. If you have any questions at all, get them in now. Get them lined up. Paul should do a Valentine's trailer for his book. It would be hilarious. You know what? Yeah, I do need to work on a new advert. I seem to be doing a seasonal one. Whatever the holiday is, I make a cheesy reference here and there. I was considering doing a spin-off of, you know, the 90s fitness VHS tapes people used to get. And it's people wearing, like, really colourful Saved by the Bell style, like spandex and stuff like that, with the perms doing like star jumps and crunches and squats and things like that. I was thinking of maybe making like a spin on that type of concept, but rather than exercising your body, why not instead give up on the resolution you were never going to keep anyway and exercise your brain instead and your spiritual warfare. So I was thinking of doing something like that, but I may have missed that one already. I seem to really be going with the old-fashioned vibe, you know, the old retro, nostalgic, vintage style, VHS style. I'm having fun with the filters, and you can't just get a filter. You got to try and make your own and figure it out through clever layering, and it's becoming an art form, of a slow art form I seem to be mastering, better than the apps you can get to do it for you. But yeah, and you do need to work on a new advert. I'm open to new ideas. Thanks for the Valentine's Day hints. Maybe I will do that one next. Something for Valentine's Day. Yeah. My wife says she will not be acting in that one, just for your information. Yes. My wife is the star of the first advert I ever made. She's the one who says, "Stay away from my children," when I try and explain to her what my book is about. So yeah, she delivered that line perfectly, didn't she, guys? So yeah, anyway. I'll work on a new advert. I'm glad you're liking the adverts. But yeah, it's something will just come to me one day. Inspiration will hit and I'll just make it in a day like I always do. So yeah, we'll see what's coming soon. Valentine's Day is a good one, a good idea. So thanks for that. Double shift today, are we? Love to see it. Well, actually, yeah. So I'm going to do something different after this show. I don't normally do this, but I've somehow gathered a lot of members on the channel now who are paying, obviously, to be a member of the channel. And I don't really have any content for you guys. I've got nothing because I'm a Patreon guy. You know, most of my extra content's all on Patreon, not on YouTube. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for an hour today and then an hour from the start of this show. So that'll be 10 p.m. for me. I think that's about 4 p.m. for you guys on the eastern border there in America, and that's when I'm going to start a members only live Q&A. So that's what I'm going to do today. And I know it's, you know, I don't normally do this, but I do want to pay it forward to those guys, give them something else, and maybe it's more of an experiment more than anything. I want to see if there's if it creates a different atmosphere. I mean, I've been a bit more intimate. It might be people who are actually really interested more so in getting involved who have become members. So I think I'm going to trial it today and see how it goes. So I'm only going to go for an hour today, public. If you want to carry on, this stream should redirect you straight to the members only section of the Q&A, where we'll be continuing the talk about whatever we talk about today and wherever we're at, you know. So there we go. Something I'm trialing with this one. And later on, JT, Joe, is airing his own episode of JT's Mixtape, which I was on about a week ago, and it's airing live tonight, so it is a pre-recorded one. So I won't be actually there on JT's Mixtape, but it is pre-recorded. But there's plenty more polls to come, shall I say, today. So if you want to go over to JT's Mixtape after this, later on tonight, I think it may be a couple of hours or a few hours after my show, JT and Demon Erasers and myself will be talking about all things Tartaria and celebrities and the music industry, actually. So it's something we don't really talk about very often on the channel anymore, but it was a topic I really was fascinated with for many years and still am fascinated with, and probably should start talking about a lot more. The music industry and the control mechanisms within it are dark, very dark, and not very subtle today. They're not very subtle about it. And maybe we should talk more about that. Witchcraft, magic, mind control, MK Ultra, all the good stuff, you know. All the good stuff, you know what I mean. Cult of Con, thanks for being here. Still busy at work, but I'm listening in. God bless you all. Still need that hat to turn up, man. I don't know what's going on. Where's my hat? I ordered a hat off your cult company store and nothing's turned up yet. I want my hat. Alpha Talks is here. What's good, everybody? Thanks for being here, man. We've got Elizabeth Joyce. We've got Cage Fighter, Stephen Lynch, Puck Woodgie. We've got the usual faces. Great to see you all. We've got Peter Hamlet. We've got Cage Fighter. We've got Shelley Spears, Pam, Visionary Vet, Fozzie Foster. We've got them all. We've got them all. Joshua Bettina says, yes, my break is like 15 more minutes than I'm watching this after my boss leaves. Paul with these movies for selling his book. So goofy, I'm grabbing the book later this month. Yeah, they're just a bit of fun. They're just a bit of fun, guys. Don't take them too seriously. But I think they've helped boost sales quite a lot. The sales have been surprisingly good for the first half year the book's been published since July. I'm quite happy with the results. I think the Christmas sales were definitely coming in thick and heavy. And I like to think my adverts had something to do with that. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they were completely useless and I was wasting my time. But I enjoyed making them either way. And I hope you guys enjoyed watching them. So, any views on Wes Huff and Billy Carson, says Kareen Savard, straight out the gate there. Interesting question. I was there at the start of December watching the whole drama unfold from start to finish and looking at all the reactions and the owned videos and watching the legal drama unfold about them being sued by Billy. I do believe the guy who hosted it has made a scene recently and made a video explaining his side, and I haven't actually caught that yet. He did it very late. I think he only did it very recently. It's like a month later as he actually openly talked about it. Maybe he was scared about litigation, so he was keeping things close to his chest until he was legally capable of saying what he needed to say. I don't know. But yeah, that was an absolute mess. And I did do my last live show towards the end of the year. I think it was the last show I did before the year ended. And I did cover Billy Carson and the whole drama. But to cover it again now, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Billy Carson is a snake oil salesman charlatan who needed to be knocked down a peg, who literally just makes stuff up with an authoritative tone and voice behind it that makes people believe his nonsense. And even if he is blatantly wrong about things and people should know better, most people are willing to believe what he says because they just have an antichrist spirit and don't want Jesus or Christianity to be true. So they just go along with his nonsense. And he's made an empire out of that and got very rich, profiting off of bashing Christianity and promoting the New World, New Age religion. And, you know, that's what people want to hear. So he has a huge audience and they'll always be loyal to him. So I don't think this has hurt him that much necessarily. I really don't. I think he'll go from strength to strength. I don't think his career is going to collapse, but he certainly felt like his career was going to collapse. Because Wes Huff, who is a PhD Christian historian, you know, that's his job. That's what he does for a living. He researches the books, you know, and puts them into a historical time frame and understands the context behind them all. And he translates things, you know, the guy who literally is an expert on ancient Christian history just dismantled Billy's erroneous claims quite easily, not really having to think much about it. And, as Wes Huff clearly loves Jesus, is a brother in Christ, but he would probably have the same attitude towards me as well. Somebody purporting the Millennial Kingdom theory. He is very much a Christian who believes the historical narrative, you know, and the historical record of written history as is, takes it at face value, I suppose, and has no reason to doubt it in any way. And he has the weight of academia behind him to prop up that belief, you know. So who am I? I'm just some crazy guy on the internet with no expertise at all talking nonsense to him, I imagine. And so there we go. But that doesn't mean he isn't a brother in Christ. I'm thankful he did what he did. God clearly used him at the right time in the right place to take Billy down a peg. And it was fun to see. I enjoyed seeing it. I did say quite a while ago on the Telegram, like, people who are legitimately posting Billy Carson crap on my Telegram will just get instantly banned because I'm not having that stuff purported here. And I made a little bit of a statement like a year ago just saying, like, this guy is quite literally making stuff up. Like, that doesn't exist anywhere in the books he's claiming it exists in. Even I knew some basic knowledge about the Book of Enoch and some other things to know that he's just, that isn't in there. Like, where is he getting that from? And that's basically what Wes Huff did. He just said, you mean the Codex Sinaiticus? This one right here behind me? You know, he pulled out his own version and says, I don't know where you're getting that from. And that's all it really took. Just somebody who actually knows what they're talking about to just point out the obvious, and Billy collapsed. And the thing is, most people who believe what Billy has to say don't care about the evidence. They just want what he says to be true. So they will prop him up and back him up because that's just how the Antichrist spirit works. So there you go. There's a quick take on the aftermath of it all. I don't think Billy's going to lose his millions of dollars and mansion and his 5 air conditioners or whatever he was humble bragging about in that rebuttal video he made. I don't think he's going to lose much from it. I think he'll bounce back because people want what he says to be true. Because they're sinners. Bottom line. Bottom line. There we go. Thanks for answering my question, Kareen. No problem, Kareen. It's a good one. It was a fun drama, wasn't it, for the Christmas season? A bit of a present for all of us, I suppose. He completely misrepresented Thoth. Yeah, and the whole Emerald Tablets thing, you know, it's quite obvious that the man who claims to have translated these Emerald Tablets of Thoth and never once presented the tablets to ever exist. It's kind of a known forgery, shall we say, a known made-up evidence. Younger MMA, your content is great. Flexing muscle. Thank you. I don't have many muscles myself. I'm not even going to flex and embarrass myself. But I'm glad you enjoy the work. Elon will bow to nobody, says Drift Speed. Okay. Are you some kind of fanboy, Drift Speed, of Elon there? Silk Road made a bunch of cities that were owned by non-royal traders that became the independent civilization. Then they got attacked and no one came to their aid and they got wiped out. Okay. Well, that seems a little bit... low-key, I have Tartaria lore no one talks about. So that's in reference to what you're talking about there. Fair enough. Well, thanks for sharing that. I don't know why... How do you have that lore and no one else is talking about it? Can you fill me in a bit more? Wes Huff still celebrates Xmas. Yeah, well, Wes Huff is just a Christian. He's not a conspiracy theorist Christian. It's funny, actually, because he was in a live stream with another normal churchianity Christian YouTube channel. Recently converted, you know, from the New Age straight into Christianity. Just normal, mainline, possibly slightly Catholic, basic churchianity, Christianity type of channel. So they're not conspiracy theorists, not even in the slightest, okay? Just Christian. And Wesov was on there, and he did a Q&A at the end, and one of our guys, one of our conspiracy theorist Christians was in there, and he said something about, like, what do you think about the controlling system, something about... And just basically a list of all the buzzwords that we'd all recognize instantly about conspiracy theories, you know, and the truth behind the deception, this type of thing. And the guy said, Wes, do you have anything to say about that? And Wes was like, nope. Okay, moving on. And he just moved on and just breezed over it. It's kind of... They glazed over when they heard the conspiracy talk. And they clearly just don't have any time for it in their mind or worldview. And it's kind of like, that's just idiocy and we're not even going to go there, you know? So that's how they would view us. So as much as he's a hero... But
since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Taking down Billy, he's not necessarily on our side. Do you get what I mean? But there is an enemy of my enemy is my friend situation, I suppose. I don't know, but no, they're not. Wes isn't a conspiracy theorist. He's just an academic who's a Christian. So he would not appreciate us in the slightest. I'll tell you that right now. I'm under no illusions that he is like an idol of any kind or is fully aware of what we talk about. He is not. But it was nice to see him take Billy down. So that's my take there. I watched Old World Florida's Truthies Award ceremony. Hilarious. Does a Bruce impression of Billy Boy. I'll have to watch that. I've not seen that. MK Ryan's in the house. That's a change. Nice to see you turn up for work for once. Nah, kid. Thanks for being here, Ryan. I appreciate it. Just send me one of those cool tiny hats. Okay. USA, Massachusetts, checking in. Intrigued by so much of this. Thanks for covering my people. No worries, Rain Man. One thing I want to ask you guys before I get into this comment and read it is about the fog that was rolling in last week. Is that still going on? It seems to be the here today, gone today topic. Here today, gone tomorrow topic. There you go. It seems to be one of those, and now no one's talking about it anymore. But it was the only thing anyone was talking about 5 days ago or something. And what's happened there? Has it all blown away now? Has the fog rolled in and out and it's over? What are people's take on all of that? Because that seemed very odd. And that seemed like definitely a Anglosphere problem. It was happening in Britain as well as happening in the USA. I heard people theorizing this is the drones are spraying this. It all kind of connected together. And I don't know what to make of it, but people were adamant it was making them very sick and giving them respiratory problems and affecting the pets as well. Any anecdotal evidence of this? Anyone got any stories to tell? Anything interesting to mention about that? Because I don't know what to make of that. I didn't see any fog around here. Though we did have one day, maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago, where there was fog, and then it went away. But that was only in the middle of the night, and it was gone. I haven't felt under the weather, no more than other people around me would normally feel that way this time of year in winter, you know, where everyone starts to catch a bit of a bug. So I don't, what's going on with this fog, guys? You tell me. I'm asking you a question. People inform me what's going on here. We had big fog this AM in my region, says Colts of Con. And is that the West Coast? Are you in the West Coast there? Happens all the time here, though. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Fog is also a natural weather phenomenon, so I'm not always ready to just jump straight onto something nefarious whenever fog rolls in myself. But some of the videos of this fog was strange. It seemed more like foam, like it was heavy and was resting on things and clumps, you know, and that's so odd, isn't it? That's such an odd... It was dense. It was so dense, this fog, that it would pool in places and stay in places, and that's just an odd thing to see. You know, and we live in a universe of density, levels of density, as I believe Connor was talking about himself in his recent podcast, you know, so it makes sense that these things can happen. Clouds can just come out of the sky and rest on the floor if their density is high enough. And maybe we're seeing something like that, just odd. The general pressure of the enclosed system is going weird in places, causing density issues, perhaps. I don't know. Pacific Northwest Coast, yes, as Culticon. Well, there we go. We all got sick twice because of our fog, says Joshua. I'm sorry to hear that. What was the sickness like exactly? How would it be described? We had a few displays going on around my area and the whole sky was lighting up every time one went off. Interesting. Brain fog. Smoke comes out when the pit is opened. Strange fog. I watch news try to explain it was due to temperature, which is wild. So they were blaming it on temperature changes. Okay. It could be pressure changes, like I mentioned there, which comes in with hot and cold fronts, that's for sure. The fog was only for a couple of days in Illinois. Okay. How do you not breathe it if you have to smell it? We all had a cold on and off for about 2 months now. My wife is corroborating my story. The fog was here like a week ago for one night. It looked weird to me. Well, fair enough. I remember seeing it because it was really in the middle of the night, quite late. It was thick. It was there. And it was gone by the morning as the sun came up. And, you know, I've seen fog before. You know, so it wasn't unusual to see. But then, obviously, a few days later, these reports are going out where people are really freaked out by the fog. And coming after the whole drone scenario, I think everyone's on edge. And anything that's happening now is just bizarre. You know, it's strange. And I think people are really hyper-focused on the weather currently and changes like that. Looking up at the sky, shall we say. I have heavy lungs after smelling graphite in the fog, says Blixcard. That's rough. That's really rough, you know. See, my problem is, I am perpetually ill and have been for a while. And my lungs have always felt like they're full of crap and heavy because I have iron in them from the hemochromatosis. So I don't think anything has made me notice any changes. Because I can't remember what it was like to feel completely healthy, if you get what I mean. So to me, I think maybe I've missed it. I don't know. I have no idea. Look out for the car-sized cloud. I'm moving through a parking lot with people filming. I'll look out for that one. CVID was 2 weeks without senses. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that one. That's not fog, Con. It's just glaucoma from eating all the fast food, boss. That's right. Guys got to eat, you know. Guys got to eat. What are you going to do about it? It's called smart dust and was invented in 97. Look it up. Yeah, I know all about that. I've heard that theory too. It could be. It seems like as well it's bringing with the fog within it tiny little black things that are moving around and hopping around that are like grasshoppers, but they're not. I've seen videos of those too. There's definitely something dodgy going on. There's something weird happening. We know geoengineering's a thing. We know it is. You know, it's not a hidden thing at all, is it, for us? In our realm, we used to be called crazy for calling them a certain thing, and then suddenly, yeah, but the science of geoengineering is real, guys. And we can go look at that. And cloud seeding and all these type of things is completely real. It's like us claiming people are making clouds happen by, you know, aerosol ejections. It is wacky, but it's not when the geoengineers do it. the gaslighting is intense with that one, isn't it? But we know what they can do. We know what they'll be doing. And we know what they're messing with, absolutely. JJ Hempcrete Bear says, hey, Understanding Conspiracy, good to see you, brother. You're crushing it, bro. Keep it up. Well, thank you. Thanks for the kind words. I'm guessing you've come over from Owen Benjamin's clan. I have a few bears in the chat, so it's nice to see our communities blend together a little bit. I'd like to talk with Owen sometime, you know. I've never talked to the guy, but I remember watching him back in the Stephen Crowder days when he was actually on Stephen Crowder's show doing the little skits and stuff. For some reason I distinctly remember him doing one where he was like a Jewish music mogul who was trying to direct Eminem to say the stupid stuff in the rap, you know, when he was against Trump. I just remember him. I don't know why I remember that skit. I know he left all that behind. I know he's not a part of the group anymore, and I know the history and what happened and how he developed to who he is today. But I always liked Owen. I always thought he was funny. I always thought he had a good heart and the right attitude. So I'd like to talk with the guy because I'm a member of his Telegram group and I see him post things all the time, and he is funny. He is absolutely funny. He might be a good guest for the Truth of Therapy sessions, eh? See if he's willing. I'll reach out to him, send him an email or something. Or maybe if you know the guy, I know he's quite connected with his fans. If you want to send him my way or send him the clip of me saying this, you know, hi, Owen, come on my show, come on my podcast on the Truth of Therapy Sessions. Let's just talk back and forth and have a few laughs about the absolute state of the world. It'd be fun. What else is going on in the chat here? Let's see. I saw it was sulfur from lots of volcanoes going off right now. It's happened before, causes illness. Are there a lot of volcanoes going off right now? That's interesting, Peter. Thanks for sharing that. The fog thing is big enough that normies at work are talking about it near daily and asking me questions I don't have answers to. Oh no, the only time the normies are taking the conspiracy theorists seriously and you haven't got the answers? That's not a good... Those aren't good optics, Josh. Come on, you've got to have the answers. Figure it out. Let me know when you do, please. Good one, Ryan. Yeah. Let me just make sure I don't miss people's questions. Sorry, just bear with me. I don't want to. It was weirdly thick for our area, I think, says Keely. Something felt different, captured my attention. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It did. When I looked out the window and saw it, I was like, whoa, that's ominous. That looks really ominous, like so odd. But then I always have this moment where it's like, yeah, but you haven't seen fog in like a year. So are you not just, is it not just like a surprise because you haven't seen it in a while and you forget what it's actually like? And I equate it to that when you see all the stars again on a night without any light pollution, and it's kind of overwhelming. It's like, whoa, look at all those things up there. That's pretty intimidating. There's so many and it's huge, you know. And you forget what that feels like and that it's there until you see it again. And maybe that's what the feeling was, but the fog definitely, it looked odd. I agree with that. I pray for you, Paul, says Blixcard. Oh, thank you. First bird illness death in the US has been reported. Nice knowing yours, MK Ryan. Oh dear. It begins, eh? This is the second one. It's a good job I'm not a bird, right? No, but seriously. They were definitely going to do round two of all of that, weren't they? I feel like all I'm going to do is just not pay attention to the TV, get on with my life and do what I do on a daily basis, like I've always done it. And I have the feeling in another 2-3 years' time, it's like it never happened again. Like, it seems to be how most of these things go down. And if most people didn't just react and just got on with their lives and pretended that it wasn't happening, nothing would happen. And that's generally how we beat the programming, is if it's just tacit non-compliance. And don't even give the attention they want. Just don't talk about it. It doesn't exist. It isn't happening, bro. And, you know, people will just get on with life like always. And there's no fear, and economies won't suddenly just tank, and the cost of living will suddenly become atrocious, you know. that's not how it's going to go down. We know how it's going to go down, because there's an army of sycophants out there who would just jab me harder, daddy. You know, they're just begging for the government to mandate some masks on them again, you know what I mean? they're just gagging to get hooked up to a bed, you know, and to a ventilator. Yeah, there's too many tacitly compliant people out there. And then don't forget all the mini Hitlers as well. Oh well, yeah. The mini tyrants, the mini fascists out there who want to seize the power that's been given to them by the government to dob us all in and exert their petty control over us because the government says it's the right thing to do, you know. that's definitely around the corner again. We all knew that. We all knew that was coming. Who's surprised? I'm not surprised. Constantly weeing trails hanging around all day, slowly expanding above me. Seeing trails, okay. Thought being out of London would mean I'm breathing cleaner air, but apparently not. Yeah, David. London's terrible anyway, on a good day. I hate visiting London. It's the capital of England, and it's the worst city in the world. I cannot stand London. I don't care how nice the architecture is, that place, the air is disgusting. And when I come back to the north, where the air is cleaner and pristine and I'm at a higher altitude and it's wetter and there's more oxygen everywhere, you know, and it's just better, it's countryside, and my nostrils are full of picking out black gunk from my nostrils for like 3 days after being in London because of all the smog and the smut that gets up there. And you just, your mucus membranes and the follicles start pushing it all out over the next 3 days, and you just get black stuff on your fingers constantly. It's really horrible. That's a horrible thing to contemplate. Think of the people living there and can't leave like me, you know. I feel sorry for them. Good you got out though, Dave. Good for you. Question and comment. One of your previous guests, Break the Hostility, brings a good point where he says New Jerusalem is on the North Pole and it's being cloaked by God. What's your opinion on it? I tend to believe him. I can't remember the exact biblical quotes now. Is it Edrus? Second Edrus, I think it was referencing there. An extra biblical text, I think. You know, I think it is canon. It is canon, I think. I can't remember the thing he was quoting, but yeah, he does mention that basically the New Jerusalem, kind of like maybe 400 to 700 years into the millennial reign, towards the back end of the millennial reign, receded and became hidden once more. Maybe he went back into heaven or became invisible, became cloaked. And then there was like a 300-year period at the end of the millennial reign, or the back end, or just after the millennial reign, where people were transitioning into the Little Season mode, basically, because they could no longer see New Jerusalem. It's kind of generations began to forget, and the degradation of society began, and the falling into the Little Season of Satan started to begin, just in time for Satan to be released. So something like that. I can't remember the exact timeline he gave, but there's definitely a good precedent, biblically speaking, to say that in true Wakanda style, Jesus Christ never left the earth. His beloved city, New Jerusalem, Mount Zion, is just currently invisible. It's got a cloak over it, a dome of invisibility or something, I don't know. And it will be revealed again at the very end. At the very end of the final Great White Throne Judgment, it will be visible once more. Perhaps for the Gog Magog War, because it will be surrounded. The Camp of Saints and the Beloved City will be surrounded, which means whoever's on the earth at that point, whoever Gog Magog is at that point, which is probably just the enemies of God as a metaphor, they will know something is there, and they will be marching up the breadth of the earth, the large plain, to surround it. So we'll know it's there. So it must become visible again. People suddenly clued into it, and they go make war with it. It's kind of like, in this godless secular world we live in today, when aliens turn up, the main reaction everyone's going to have is, let's get them. That's it. Get your guns. We're going north. It's that simple. Like, aliens have come to kill us, have they? Let's get them before they get us. That's the basic attitude. Everyone's played enough video games to be brainwashed into wanting to do something like that, you know? So, yeah, I can see it. I think Break the Hostility, he was right, I think, and the book he quoted was Edra. So I'll have to rewatch. I talked to him months ago now, so I'll have to rewatch that and get that quote again from the Bible that he was talking about, because it is fascinating, and it's good precedence to say, yeah, Jesus never left the earth, he's right here, his kingdom is eternal. But there was a receding, or an making an invisible or locked off to the rest of the world his beloved city for the Little Season of Satan. Something like that. Wendy's just gifted some memberships. Thanks, Wendy. That's incredible. You guys can now make it to the after show, which is in 23 minutes or so. So in the meantime, let me just quickly get up this comment anyway. I've gone on for a bit here. Let me get up the comment, which I want to read to you, which I thought it was just a really good summary. And I think he deserves the credit to have this shared to a wider audience, because I get lots of amazing comments from you guys. Like, a lot. The community we have here is an intelligent one, and they're a deeply researched one, and they are finding things I just don't have time to find, and they are thinking about things in ways I might not necessarily see them. And some of the comments I get are really well thought out, and I'm very impressed. So let me just change this, sort by, let's add a filter here, response status. I responded, and it should come up quicker. Nearly there. Perfect. Right. So I'm going to get this comment up, and let's see if I can't share the screen with you guys as well while I'm at it, so you can read along with me. Let's do a screen share. There we go. Let's move it up. So this is from Moogle K, and Moogle left this comment a few times, and it gets buried. I get hundreds of comments, so these things get buried, you know what I mean? And I don't see everything, unfortunately, and I apologize so much that I don't get a chance to respond to everybody. But I do try my best to see all the comments, but even if I do see your comment and read it, I may forget it by within an hour, because I've read 60 other comments, you know? So it's not like I'm purposely ignoring you or anything like that. But this one was posted again, because I had Biblically Based on my channel. She jumped on a live Q&A to share her theory on volcanoes. And if you haven't seen that, I think it was the last live Q&A I did. I think just go check that one out. And I think she's released her own video on her channel, Biblically at Biblically Based 101. And it was fascinating because she was talking about how the idea that the volcanoes didn't even exist, historically speaking, until Pompeii, till the first century. They weren't even mentioned in the Bible anywhere, or the Old Testament or the New Testaments. And it seems like the name for volcanoes didn't even exist until the 1600s. She was speculating it seems like volcanoes first appeared during tribulation, and that was the judgment by fire which came upon the earth. And that's how, well, let's read this comment, because this guy expanded on this a lot more, and he actually left this comment a month or so before Nicolette came on my channel and explained anything she'd researched before. So other people had been thinking about this, and he clearly wanted me to see it. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to share this comment with the rest of you, because it's really good, and it gives you a lot of food before. So here we go, I'll just read it out to you. Let me get a quick drink of water before I do that as well, so bear with me. I'm hoping the high-def microphone doesn't pick up every single slurp and gulp in true Terence McKenna style. I apologize if that's what you guys just listened to. Right. So, an interesting fact is that Romans had no word or understanding for volcanoes. The actual word volcano wasn't invented until the 1610s, with the word derived from Vulcan, the Roman god of fire. Those that lived in Pompeii also had no word for volcano either. They had no knowledge or understanding of volcanoes. The city merely thought it was settled near a large, beautiful mountain. Today it is common knowledge and a weekly occurrence, as somewhere in the world a volcano is erupting. Pliny the Younger recorded that people were so terrified during the events that led to the destruction of the great cities of Pompeii that they prayed for death. Quote, there were some so afraid of death that they prayed for death. Many raised their hands to the gods, and even more believed that there were no gods any longer, and that this was the one last unending night for the world. I believed I was perishing with the world, and the world with me, which was a great consolation for death. End quote. This historical event also matches up nicely with John's vision, Revelation 9:6, quote, and in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. End quote. Yet another place the word volcano does not occur in is the Bible. Since there wasn't an understanding or description for such a concept in the time, it lends credibility to the idea that the great landmass known as Pangaea was still intact in their time. Quote, and there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake that had not occurred since men were on the earth. Revelation 16:18. If Pangaea is a real concept, the violent shaking it would cause as the world ripped apart would be such an event that had never happened before or after. It's possible, however, that the Apostle John recorded the events of a volcano to the best of his ability from one of the prophetic visions he was given. In Revelation 9, it says, quote, 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third of the men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. It's interesting that John heard the rumbling and earth-shaking sounds the horsemen made. He related the sounds and feelings of 200 million horsemen. John specifically mentioned the smoke, fire, and brimstone, as well as the colour of jacinth, which also is the colour of bright fire. The mouth of an active volcano would kill, as well as the many-headed pools of lava that could look like tails or serpents. The old world buildings that appear to have been melted and some buried may have happened during the events of Revelation that caused some of the stars to fall to earth as they emptied out their vials, bowls on the earth. These events caused the worldwide empire of Rome to fail. Ground liquefaction swallowed some of them. The toxic, hot burning gas filled the air, caused some to melt, while others were pelted and merged with molten rock. Some poor souls, caught in the superheated gas filled air as it burst forth from the earth, would have had their skin blistering off where they stood, their eyes melted into their sockets and their tongues appeared to rot out of their mouths. Just as in Zechariah 14:12, quote, "The earth split open and separated the continents, mountains were made." Sorry, is this a quote? Maybe it's not a quote, but apparently Zechariah 14:12 stated this. I'll get that. Maybe I'll get that verse up after this. "The earth split open and separated the continents. Mountains were made low as they exploded for the first time, spewing out lava on a worldwide scale. Water became acidic and blood red from underwater volcanoes erupting at the same time, which killed off much of the marine life in the area at the time. Exactly one third of the earth was turned into a desert. The sun was darkened for 18 months from all the ash and smoke, as plague spread and people prayed for death to release them from their horror, as the world they once knew was destroyed and transfigured. There were some people that were marked and heard a voice tell them they were numbered amongst the dead, and would horrifically spin around in fear, flailing as they fell down. Dead. To this day, there is a single celestial observation that can be seen from every location on Earth, and it just so happens to look like a scar or line where the heavens appear to have been rolled back like a scroll. Today, this mark is called the Milky Way. Both Josephus and Tacitus recorded armies marching in the sky. The earth was divided and split up into multiple continents and islands. Safe drinking water had now been made bitter with salt, causing those that drank it to die. Shortly before Pliny the Elder died, he was looking into why the seas were salt. The breaking apart of the earth took with it the once powerful worldwide empire known as Rome. Some of their buildings still stood, however, and those were buildings we see today and properly call them Old World buildings. Some buildings possibly continued to be built after the revelation events of Armageddon by those that followed the commandments of God. The earthly representation of heavenly kingdom reigned for 1,000 years. Historical narrative calls this the 1,000-year period of the Dark Ages, when the Byzantine Empire ruled with an iron rod. The Byzantine Empire was a theocracy, said to be ruled by God working through the emperor. During that time, the Theodosian Codex, or law, was the law of the land, which were based off of biblical principles. Actions like homosexuality and usury were outlawed, as was all forms of paganism. Theodosius means God's gift. The name Theodosius comes from the Greek word theos, which means God, and didomai, which means to give. The researcher and author Jennifer Fretland Van Voorst stated about the Byzantine Empire, quote, "The Byzantine Empire became a theocracy in the sense that Christian values and ideals were the foundation of the empire's political ideals and heavily entwined with its political goals." English historian Stephen Ransomman stated in his book, The Byzantine Theocracy, quote, "The constitution of the Byzantine Empire was based on the conviction that it was the earthly copy of the kingdom of heaven. Just as God ruled in heaven, so the emperor, made in his image, should rule on earth and carry out his commandments. It saw itself as a universal empire. Ideally, it should embrace all the peoples of the earth who, ideally, should be members of the one true Christian church, its own Orthodox church. Just as man was made in God's image, so man's kingdom on earth was made in the image of the kingdom of heaven." End quote. After the 1,000 years were finished, Satan was let loose from his prison, and he went to war with those that kept the commandments. He brought with him a flood of wickedness and deception. The empire in Europe and Asia, known as being the descendants of Japheth, Noah's son, were destroyed and removed from the history books. Those alive, knowing the truth, were possibly institutionalized in asylums. Their young children were taken and put in orphanages and factories as they were indoctrinated into the new world order system. We didn't build the old world buildings, they were found. And given a date of their founding, many were destroyed because they simply should not and could not exist on the worldwide scale that they did, especially for such new fledgling countries like the America that was coming out of multiple wars and poverty. So I asked if I could use this and he said yes. So that was a very good summary of basically what went down. Here and there, some interesting things I liked. I liked the description of the volcanoes from Revelation 9 here. And it does seem like they're discussing the mouth of a volcano that spits out fire and brimstone, with multiple trails looking like serpents coming out from it, which is just like a volcano exploding. I thought that was really well stated. Let's just look at Zechariah 14:12 here, shall we? Let's just actually look that up. So just quickly. And this shall be the plague wherein the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in the holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Well, that is absolutely awful. So, the punishment sounds pretty dire, doesn't it, during tribulation? I think people don't truly appreciate or understand just how terrible it would be to live through the time of tribulation. Yeah, for some reason, we live in a time where a lot of Christians seem to be begging for it to come upon the earth. And I wouldn't even wish such a thing on my worst enemy. I don't care if they're sinners or not. I would pray that God would save them from such things, or at least bring them to a point of repentance before it came upon them. It's not pleasant. the tribulation event was not pleasant. And a lot of that research, he says there, lines up a lot with what we have as described happening through the 536 period, the three cataclysms of the first millennia, as we discussed in the Gunnar Heinsen breakdown. And in 536, they were talking about basically darkness overtook everything for 18 months because volcanoes were going off everywhere. And then a plague came upon everybody. And the historians of the time are describing that in this plague, people are locking themselves in their houses, terrified to answer the knock at the door because people were witnessing demons appear and angels of death appear. And if you see the angel of death or the demon, you're marked and you will die within like 2 days. So people were terrified of leaving their homes because they might answer the door to one of these monsters and then they would be dead and they'd know they were going to die. And it's people just dropping like flies. And it's described that we didn't even know what to do with the bodies anymore. We just started pushing them into the sea. Like, it's just, it got way out of hand. And it was just this incurable disease that was just this blight that was everywhere, just wiping people out. And it came with visions of monsters. Like, the infected saw the vision and then they were going to die. It was known, you know, it was a known thing. And he's described that briefly in there, you know, in his own breakdown. Maybe I can find it again here. What does he say? People prayed for death, and it didn't come. And he had the Pliny the Younger's description there of him witnessing these things. This Roman leader of a small region. And he was explaining how, you know, even I wish I would die. This was terrible. This was the worst thing I've ever seen come upon the earth. Like, it's just awful. And he may have been one of the very few survivors. Who knows? It seems like Gunnar Heinsen predicted, it seems like 90% of the earth's population was wiped out in that time period. And that's mainstream understanding of history, you know. The earth would just divide and split up into continents and islands. So he's explaining the Pangaea concept, that everything was once kind of connected as one kind of circular patch of land with like rivers running through it. And then suddenly it just split apart and became the continents we have today. I'm seeing more and more evidence for that everywhere. I mean, just look at Africa and South America. They look like jigsaw puzzles that fit into each other. And one really interesting piece of information, actually, which I do want to share with you guys while I've got you here. Maybe it's going to be one of the closing pieces of information I share with you before I go over to the members-only live Q&A, which is starting in 7 minutes. But if I just bring up, I had a conversation with Elizabeth Joyce not that long ago. She was sharing with me some interesting things about where she lived in her own area. And see if I can still find it. Where would it be? It was a long time ago they had this conversation. Here we go. So I think this is a conversation worth sharing. I'm sure she wouldn't mind me sharing this because it's really interesting and she caught my attention with it, to be honest. So I'll just share the screen with this conversation. And she was explaining to me how Hi, Paul. Praying Keely and the baby are doing well. I want to share my take on some evidence that I believe lends credence to the North America being the land of Canaan. Specifically in New England, we have over 240,000 miles of ancient stone walls. That's officially recognized, and there's much more. That overwhelm the landscape with endless examples of stone serpent effigies, as well as America's Stonehenge that has archaeological evidence of Canaanite presence. A lot of info on that has been in the book America BC by Barry Fell. It deserves a proper presentation. I've been praying for a reason to put it together. I just bought a nice GoPro camera and microphone, so I'm running out of excuses not to make videos. And I do think Elizabeth is going to be making her own YouTube channel soon. Maybe we'll find something on this. But she was showing examples of what these things look like. And this is actually a sacrificial table you see here in the middle. Let me just make sure the view you guys have got is decent. Let's move that across there so you can get the full view of what I'm seeing. But you can see this image here, this one in the center. That's actually where people would have been sacrificed on this slab. And it's terrifying to behold when you think about it. But just look at the way these rocks are stacked. Okay, and this seems like slate. A lot of this is slate to me. And you've got this here. The slate rock, and here as well. It's built in the style where it's earthquake proof, so if it is an earthquake, these will not fall. That's what you have to realize. They're built in a way where they can kind of withstand it. They wobble into each other and lock into place, and they don't actually collapse. So that's why they've lasted so long. And you have to imagine who took the time to build these, who had the strength and the wherewithal to build these, okay? So I said, we have loads of those, especially in the Lake District of the UK. Okay, and they look just like this. And I sent pictures of what we see here in England, very common. We see this everywhere, all over the place. They're scattered throughout all of our farmlands. They're just everywhere. It's not like just spooling out for miles and miles and miles. You know what I mean? Just going on and on and on over hills and mountains in the middle of nowhere. And it it's endless. It's honestly endless. And I just think, like, who truly actually had the time to make this? And why are they running through such random places? It's not just farm fields. They're running through forests and going up into the midst of the dense forest, into the trees and places where men would not be climbing up to because it's too dangerous. You know what I mean? And for some reason, they're all resting on top of there. And I say, you know, it's in places that seem utterly pointless and extremely difficult to make. And she says, I had the feeling you guys had similar walls. Ours too. They're in the deep woods on ungodly hill edges for no apparent useful reason. And that's the same. That's what I see here too. They say they are pilgrim farmers' piles. And if you question that the Native American ritualistic stone cairns. And I say, you know, it's the same. It's in the middle of forests on the edge of places that don't make sense. And here's a video showing some of them from an aerial view that she sent. See if we can get this playing.
But what if I told you we have our...
So if you just skip through, it's just a woman here showing them. You have a tour of the sacrificial slab here. So some real pagan stuff going on. You can even say we've got a groove for the blood to run off at the end there. It's really weird stuff. And there's definitely like alignments involved with some of these things. And it's interesting video she shared there. And here's a map of some where they've mapped just what they know of, just scattered all throughout New England for her there. Okay, and I'm getting to a point here, by the way. There is a point to all this. And there it is. And I said we have them all in the northwest of England too. Okay, we have the exact same thing. And now if I go to, let's go to Google... let's just go to maps, okay, and let's just zoom out here to this is what we're told is, so if we can get this, maybe actually let's get on a, so this is the northwest of the UK where we have all these, this is the Lake District here, this is a starred area, I like going to the Lake District, and this is where we find quite a lot of these slate things, and I'd say mainly the northwest region, not really further than Liverpool. Going north from Liverpool is where we find most of these stone walls in the UK and in Ireland as well. The southern regions from Manchester down to London, you don't really find many of them. They're just in this northern region all the way up to Scotland. You find these slate stone walls. And then if you go across to here, to this region, this is where you find a lot more of these things and these stone walls. Go to New England. So this area around here, you know, Maine, Boston region, all this region here, you find a lot of them here as well. Now, I think if you bring these lands closer together like puzzle pieces, okay, you slot South America there back into Africa, you wrap this Morocco, Western Sahara region, slip it back into Puerto Rico, Cuba, and Florida, wrapping it all the way around to Spain and France and the UK. I think those stone walls were built before all the islands separated into continents. And New England was originally a part of and attached to England, the island of England. And those stone walls, which are made of the exact same style and stone, are in this region and this region because they were built at the same time by the same people when everything was close to each other before the continents split apart from the tribulation event not that long ago, which is why they don't look that old. Old, yes, but not that old. You know what I mean? Like, maybe 1,000 years or so, something like that. You know, they've weathered a fair amount, but they haven't collapsed. They've got enough mold and growth on them, you know, but they haven't fully decayed back into dust. They're old, but not that old. So there's my working theory. Like, I think that to explain to Elizabeth, that's what I think I explained to her. That's what I think was going on. Yeah, but these things are everywhere. There's just one map of that region near her, you know. And I think New England and Old England perhaps were the same place at some point. So there's one of my new latest thoughts and theories. I don't know what you guys think of that. I'm just throwing it out there, you know. But I'm going to end this show now. This is the end of the public live Q&A session. As I explained at the start of the show, I am now going to go end this stream and you'll be redirected to the members only stream live Q&A where we'll continue this conversation. Something a bit more intimate, something a bit more personal, something I want to trial and see if it works out. Maybe it'll become an extra thing in the future, a regular thing, but I do need to give back to my members on YouTube. And for my patrons out there, don't worry. If you're a member of Patreon and don't want to become a member of YouTube, I will be re-uploading this members only Q&A to Patreon straight after the show. So you can watch it afterwards, just not live, unfortunately. But all the extra content is already on Patreon. My members on YouTube have nothing, so I'm going to start giving them this, I think. But all the extra videos and behind-the-scenes stuff will still be going to Patreon. So there we go, guys. I'm going to end this conversation now. Thanks for listening. For those who aren't going to make it to the members only, I'll be back soon with another conversation. I think I've got a guest on Wednesday, and I'll be appearing on a few other podcasts here and there as well, and I'll be making the odd video too. Thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.